Okay. We're going to continue or finish, I guess, for be a better word, the series on hope, help, and healing. Today is healing. And the first week we looked at this, we talked about how Jesus Christ is our blessed hope, and we all need that operate in our life. And this is kind of a Christmas theme, although it's not your normal Christmas messages, but I kind of wanted to deviate a little bit and kind of go into that from a different angle. And you know how, you know, we do need hope in our life. And then we had a break with our Christmas program, which was good. And then last week we looked at how Jesus helps us because we all need help. Now today we're going to look at healing. And I know I covered this subject a little bit earlier in the year, and I'm not going to go into it real deep today like I did before, but I encourage you to go back to that. But the message I want to bring today is Jesus came to heal. You know, God sent his son to earth to bring healing and restoration to his creation, and that was very important. All through the ages, you know, if you look through the Bible and just different history, you know, man is trying to find ways, you know, somewhat to deal with that problem. And they've conjured up some pretty good ideas. But, you know, finally, though, to make it totally right, God sent his son, Jesus Christ. And he came here, and his son came to fix us. And we're going to look at how broken we really are today. And it's hard sometimes for us to admit, but, you know, sin is a sickness that you and I all have to deal with in our life. Even though we're born again, if you're a Christian here today, there's still a sin nature that we have to deal with that tries to hold us back, and we need to learn how to overcome that and not give in to the flesh nature, but start to walk in the ways of the Spirit. So sin is the sickness, and Jesus Christ is the cure. And different people are broken to different levels, you know, to some extent, you know. Some people really have a rough time. They've been going through some things. Life hasn't been totally fair, but life isn't fair to everyone. But some people do have a tougher road, and I think we would all admit that. And some people seem like they have an easy road. But even the people on the easy road, they are still broken, but they sometimes just don't want to admit it all the time. So we're going to look today about how Jesus came to heal us, spirit, soul, and body. Remember the passage talks about, you know, in Thessalonians, that we're a spirit, soul, and a body. And how it's always been explained to me, and it makes a lot of sense to me, and I hope it does to you, that man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. And Jesus came to redeem all three, okay? We're going to look at a couple scriptures today. The first one's 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. It says, the one who practices sin is of the devil. Now, don't run out the door on that right there. I could stop right there because we've all sinned, you know, so don't take it personally. I mean, that's not what it's saying, that you're of the devil. But, you know, sometimes we listen to the devil. So, the one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Now, here's the good part. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. And that's the good stuff. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord God, we thank you for the unction of the Holy Ghost to be here today. Lord, I take authority over any circumstance or any disturbance that tries to hinder the flow of your Spirit and the flow of your Word today. Lord God, I thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And Lord, I thank you just for opening our hearts, eyes, and minds today to be able to receive what you have for us. I yield to the gift you've given me, and I use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this passage kind of gives us a little bit of a picture of some things why Jesus came. Last week I mentioned, you know, who would think a little baby, you know, could save us? You know, because usually, and really, babies are, you know, so innocent, but, you know, primarily they need taken care of. So if you look at it in the natural, you know, it seems like it'd have been smarter for God to send a grown-up down. You know what I'm saying? But he didn't do it that way. He sent a baby, and that baby grew up, and he grew up as a man and then became anointed by the Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost that lives in you gave Jesus the power. You know what I'm saying? There's only one Spirit. So we all have that same Spirit. Now, what he did, the plan was here, first he appeared. That word appear means to cause something to be fully known by revealing in clear detail. And that's what we see, is that Jesus came because most of us misunderstood God and his intentions because we misunderstood why he came and why he did things. You know, like I've always said, you know, when I was growing up, sometimes I thought God did not want me to have any fun, so I did not go to church much. It, you know, I just kind of figured, you know, if I had to obey the rules, you know, some of them rules I enjoy, not all of them. I mean, you know, but I mean, the rules that he wants me to keep, I enjoy doing the other thing. So it kept me from really tapping in to that until finally I came to my senses. Then, you know, and we know that also Jesus came to reveal what the Father's like. And if you study the four Gospels especially, you really see how Jesus went with compassion. He cared about people. He really cared about them. And see, that's what you and I really need to learn to develop in our life, is that we care about people, all people, even if they're different from us, even if they disagree with us. And see, we get that a little bit as we start to walk in maturity. Next, it says here that he came to destroy them. That word means to dissolve or loosen. You know, all of us were bound by chains, you know, like we had handcuffs on or bound in chains and or ropes tying us down. And Jesus came to break the power of those things to set us free. You know, I remember when I finally accepted Jesus Christ, the freedom that it brought to my life. Now, it brought an immediate freedom in some areas, but not all areas. There was large ground taken, like in a war. When Jesus came into my life, boom, it just changed a lot of things, but then not everything changed. So that was a progressive growth, and that's what a lot of people, all of us, go through. And we have to understand how that really works so we don't get discouraged. So Jesus came to heal both pain and shame. We need to remember that. He came to heal both pain and shame. Now, the first point I want to look at, that was just a little bit of an introduction, is that we are badly broken. Now, I don't mean this is a downer, but that's just the true statement. We're badly broken. We have things going on in our life that we can't really understand all the time. You know, if you really step back for a minute and you think, why do I respond to stuff the way that I do? Now, sometimes we respond good, right? But I don't think any of us are 100%, are we, if you're honest? All of a sudden, something will come out of our mouth, or have some sort of action that we just can't explain as a Christian. Why did I respond that way? Why do I act that way? Now, we can easily say, oh, Lord, I repent and go on. But I kind of want to get to the root of it because I don't like to do that. I try to change, and I've had some change, but, you know, not everything has been fixed totally yet. So Matthew 12, 9 to 14, I kind of want to show a little bit about, I suppose, our deep nature. So Matthew 12, 9 to 14 says, departing from there, he went to their synagogue. That was like their church, you know. And a man was there whose hand was withered. And they questioned Jesus, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Now, the Sabbath was their day of rest. You weren't supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, even today, some of the real strict Jews, in order to get around the system, because we're very, very smart, they'll have timers on their lights because they consider flipping a light switch work, some of them. So they'll put a timer on, or maybe a motion detector now, they have a lot of those, and that light will turn on and off for them. You know, so they have a workaround. And see, most of us try to develop workarounds, don't we? You know, to get around the rules. But anyway, so is it lawful for them to heal on a Sabbath? So here this guy's hand was unusable, and they came to Jesus and asked that. And then he said to them, what man there is there among you who has a sheep, and it falls down into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take a hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then Jesus said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and it was healed or restored as normal, like the other one. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him as how they might destroy him. How messed up is that? We're like that, people. We get like that. We can make fun of the Pharisees because to us, that doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, here it's okay to save an animal, and there's a lot of people will pour so much money and time into saving animals, but they'll kill babies and they'll kill all these other things. It doesn't make any sense. But see, that's how broken we are. You know, what happens is, you know, is that, you know, sometimes, you know, we get bent out of shape when things go against the way that we think they ought to be because we're not thinking like God does. See, when we care more about programs than people, we've totally missed it in life. And see, that's what happens. You know, when we get religion in our life and we start to keep a bunch of rules, you know, case in point might be is, you know, maybe we have somebody that's maybe coming to church a little bit, you know, and they're trying to grow in Christ, and they're growing and they're learning some things and, you know, getting involved. But all of a sudden, maybe they stumble. What do? Do we try to pick them up and restore them? Or do we kick them to the curb and talk about how they've sinned and shamed the church? I mean, that's usually what happens sometimes in some places. You know, not here. I mean, we're an accepting church, I hope. I understand what it means to fail. I understand what it means to fall down. But I don't understand what it means to stay down. And I hope you don't either. You always get up. You always fight that good fight of faith. No matter what temptation, no matter what thing comes against you, and I believe somebody needs to hear this today. Don't let the devil keep you down. You get right back up, dust yourself off, ask Jesus to wash you by the blood, and you just keep heading towards Him. Amen? That's what we need to do. Because the problem is that we're all broken. We have problems in our life. See, don't believe the lie that you're the only one who is broken. Don't believe the lie that you're the only one that maybe stumbles or fails in life, because that's what Satan will try to do. He'll try to get you to think that you're the only one that maybe gossips, you're the only one that maybe has a bad day or maybe said something harsh to the children or whatever the case may be, because we all struggle with those little in things in our life that try to hold us back and try to get us beat down. And those things are the things that we need to overcome. See, I like to say, I don't wish it wasn't so, but I believe each of us are a half a bubble out of plumb in a certain area of our life. We all have certain areas that just ain't quite right. And those are the areas that we need to allow Jesus, you know, to come in and start to help and to bring that healing. But yet we don't want Him to do that. See, mankind's spirit, soul, and body was all affected by the fall in the Garden of Eden. But then also, all three were also affected when Jesus went to the cross and redeemed us. And understanding how those really work, because we can, if we don't really understand the big picture, step back and get the 30,000 foot view, we'll just wonder, well, why ain't this working right now? Or how does this all happen? So we need to understand that and get the big picture, what happens. See, we were created in God's image, and when sin entered mankind, the mirror was broken, and we lost sight of that image. And that's part of the problem. See, the Bible says we're created in the image of God. But sometimes in the look in the mirror, and I really see, you know, what happens, I don't feel like that. I don't maybe operate like that. And see, then the devil, he's there, and he's trying to bring lies and try to bring up all my past, but I just usually bring up his future, amen, and the conversation's over. He moves on. And that's what we need to understand, how we fight the good fight of faith. See, we need to get that image back of what God meant in the original creation, what He has for mankind. The problem is, I don't know, our society has changed in a lot of ways. You know, we live in a disposable society. When I was a kid, if a VCR broke, you had it fixed. Oh, a VCR, for some of you, it's like a DVD player, but it has a fatter tape and it's not as handy, okay? You know, but we would have to have those fixed, and there was a repair shop, and you would take it in, and you know, maybe it cost $30-$40 to fix your VCR because you know you just didn't do it. But now, if a DVD player or something like that breaks, you just toss it, you just get rid of it, get another one. They're so cheap, they don't mean anything, they're not worth anything anymore. But see, what happens, we get in this, you know, because we don't fix anything anymore, we toss them, you know, what happens is we treat people like that. We think that we can maybe live in a disposable society when we're talking about people. And we cast people off. And we say there's no hope in fixing them. And see, we need to change that mentality. I don't know about you, but I know Jesus can fix anything. That's my mentality. I'm a fixer person. I like to fix things. I like to fix stuff that's broken. I like to fix people if they let me. I just find great satisfaction in taking something that's totally broken and bring it back and restore it back to the way it needs. Now, as far as sanding a full disclaimer, like getting an old cabinet or something and sanding on that, no, that's not me. I don't like doing that. You know, I like to fix other things. I don't know how to explain it. Like, you know, just broken stuff. and just get a part and move on. I don't want to put all that other time into it. But see, it's, to me, it's kind of like a broken bone. I've never really had a broken bone. Some of you probably have. I did have a little chip on the side of my foot, and they did put a cast on for a while. I got that when I was backpacking around Europe before I gave my heart to Jesus. That was my last, I guess, swan dive or whatever I did when I went over there and backpacked around for 2.5 months. But anyway, I digress. That's a different story. You know, but what happens, though, I've seen people really, you know, on them football players that get their legs just jacked up, you know, boom, hit it and their leg goes sideways. I mean, just enough to make you ill in the stomach, isn't it? Well, see, what happens, you know, and that's really kind of what we are, you know, in our soul, because, you know, we're broken. And what happens is then we need to learn how to fix that. And see, unless you set the bone properly, it won't heal right. See, it will heal, but it'll be crooked. It won't be straight. So you have to make sure it's set right. And see, that's what we need to do in our life when it comes to the area of our soul. We need to be transparent in the sense where we want to make sure that we get everything straightened out. See, what happens also sometimes is, you know, people will cover things up. Have you ever had an injury and you wrap it? And so people can't really tell what's happened there, but you wrap it, and you think that's just going to cover it up, you know, so nobody can try to see, you know, what you have and things like that. And see, that's what we do with our soul sometimes. You know, we try to wrap our soul, and we try to cover it up so people can't see that we're really hurting. We plaster a smile on our face, and we clap at a few songs and say hallelujah. You know what I mean? But yet, we're hurting inside. We still have things that we need to deal with. We have things that we want to let go of. A lot of times also, you know, when we cover it up, it's as much as hiding it from other people. Sometimes we also do that just so that, you know, we won't have to deal with it. You know, if we hide something, you know, then we don't have to deal with it. But, you know, I found out there's not enough makeup or fancy clothes to cover up brokenness. It's always going to come out. Maybe not today and maybe not tomorrow, but there's going to come a time when that pain, that broken part inside of us, because what happens is when pressure is applied, that's when you get pain. Now, if you have a splinter, I've had plenty in my day. If you get a splinter in your hand, you know, sometimes it might hurt when you first get it. Maybe you can't see it. It's a little one. But, you know, the pain will go away. And you can just go off and do what you want until you hit it or push on it. And all of a sudden that pain's there, right? So what's going to happen is that in our soul, a lot of times we have some areas that we've been damaged in and hurt. And then we're okay. We can function properly in society and go out and do whatever we think, you know, we can do. And, you know, everybody think everything's good. But then all of a sudden a little pressure's applied to that one area of your soul. And ow, then you respond. That's why we respond that way, is because we all have owies. We have owies in our soul, our mind, our will, our inner emotion. You know, maybe some things have happened in our life, and what we need to do is understand that it's okay to have that pain because it's there for a reason, but it's not okay to keep that pain. I want us to see today that we can get free. You know, one of the reasons that I started going to Bible school is really, and I remember writing this, I can still remember it 30-some years ago, writing it on my Bible school application, just how I know that Jesus wants to heal emotional pain in people. Because I know what it's like to sometimes be tormented by different thoughts and different things and how important it is. The easy part is that Jesus wants us to repent, get saved, and be made whole again. That's the, you know, we could write that on a prescription paper, but then you still got to do some stuff, right? You know, we still have to do some things. What we need to understand is, number first is the fact that Jesus wants us to be His, okay? We need to come to Him and give Him our life. That's the first part of being healed, is surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. The second part is understand that Jesus wants us to be healed. He doesn't want us to be broken. He's not trying to teach us a lesson with cancer or any sort of emotional pain. No, He wants us to be set free from that. And lastly, which is kind of important too, He wants us to be holy. He wants to live by His, you know, what He has called us to do. And, you know, that sanctification process, and that's a big Christian word that we don't use too often, but it's talking about being set apart, and we set our lives apart. See, that sanctification process is a continual process. process. It's going to keep going. Now, next point I want to look at is the idea of how Jesus came for total healing and restoration in our lives. And I'm going to look at the spirit, body, and soul in that order. I know it's a little out of order, but I wanted to do it that way. And we're going to look at that just so we have a clear understanding. And I think if we get a glimpse and get a picture of how these things really connect, I think it's going to help you to walk in a greater level of liberty and freedom. You know, so we don't have to bow anymore to the devil and the lies that he has for us, okay? Number one is the spirit of man. The Bible says that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature, you know, 2 Corinthians 5, okay? So, how this works is once you're born again, and forgive me if you already understand this, but I know that maybe some don't, is the idea is if you're born again, you're spiritually made brand new. You know, your spirit is alive now to God, the way it was when Adam was in the Garden of Eden. See, when sin entered in, it became a barrier, and we died to God, shall we say. We are spiritually dead, okay? So when we're born again, and that's the word I like to use, some call converted. I mean, to me, that means change, but I like born again because I like the new life, man. That really, boom, just helps me to see a picture. Like Dan said, he sees pictures. To me, when I see born again, I picture baby, new life, fresh start. But see, we need to have that. See, our spirit is very important. That's the part of us that connects with God, okay? And see, if we can understand spiritually how this process worked, it's going to help us in our soul. It's going to give us the ammunition and the things that we need to be able to come into that soul restoration. Okay, so when we're born again, we get our God image back or our God connection. You know, God can talk to sinners, and he does. But primarily, God wants to talk to us spiritually. But if we're spiritually dead to him, it's kind of like it's a barrier there. It's kind of like a bad connection, and we don't get it all the time. But once we become alive and we're spiritually alive, it's like God and I are on the same signal. I mean, we can understand each other. I mean, there's still some growth, don't get me wrong. But yet we have that opportunity. And all things are forgotten. All things become new. Everything that we've done before, all the bad things we've done to other people and we've done to ourselves, maybe we've hurt our own bodies as well as hurt other people. As far as God's concerned, it's gone. I don't know what a fresh start meant to you, but I was a sinner. And I made some mistakes and I hurt people and I hurt myself. And when I got born again, It was like a light bulb went off inside of me. It's totally life-changing. And it frustrates me as a pastor when some people don't get that. You know what I mean? You try to explain it, but see, it's something spiritually. You know, what made it for me is, I guess, the simplistic way of saying this is I finally wanted Jesus more than I wanted this other stuff. Once I got that settled in myself, then it started to connect and started to work for me. So maybe that'll help you if maybe you haven't come to that place. And I encourage you to get there. So, like I say, this revelation is crucial because if you understand what God says about you, then you can start to grow and become that person. But if you don't get the idea that you got a fresh start and God can deal with sin, well, then that stuff's always going to be nagging in the back of your head, and it's always going to be holding you down like carrying a bunch of weights through life. You know, but see, if we get that revelation, we let those things go. And so to me, without this revelation, the Christian walk is uphill. I don't know about you, but I don't like going uphill unless I'm doing it for a workout, get my heart beating. I mean, that's all right. But how would you like to live your life uphill all the time? There's a lot of people that do that. They just can't go downhill to save their life. Everything they do is uphill. But I've got to tell you today, God can turn that around. It's just a thought away. It's just a revelation away where God can change your perspective and how you look at things, and God will make a big change. And I know he did it for me. He can do it for you. See, too many people just only believe they're saved from something and not really saved into anything. And we're going to go into that more in depth some other time. So it's important to see that it's just not fire insurance. You know, getting saved is good. I mean, I'm thankful I don't have to go to hell. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, that was a sweet benefit. But, you know, there's more. So much more in this life that Jesus wants to come and be a part and to bring us in so we can walk in victory. You know, I never want to have to bow my knee to the devil again. Well, next, I'm going to try to pick up the pace a little bit. It's talking about the body. Your body is your earth suit, for lack of a better term. As you get older, you understand how your body is, you know, some of the things don't work quite like they used to. But I want us to see today, just briefly, because like I said, I went into this in depth more earlier in the year. You know, Jesus has made provision for our bodies to be healed. And I think we could all admit that. I mean, I believe in doctors. That's good. I like divine healing better. Not going to lie to you. But God bless doctors. My son is a nurse. Helps a lot of people. And that's good. But what I want us to see today, how God created us. And it's kind of unique. You know, God created our bodies, that natural healing comes to our bodies through different antibodies and different things he put in there. Like when you have an infection or something, the body creates something. Now, sometimes that infection's real bad. You know, you need a little help from an antibiotic or different things. You know, just like, don't do it, but if you have a cut, that cut don't stay there, does it? I mean, if it's deep, you might have a scar. But what does that cut start to do? Well, the body is made in such a way that our blood is going to coagulate around there so you don't bleed to death. And then that body is going to give what it needs, the materials, to heal that cut up. And for the most part, unless it's really deep, you can't even tell you've been injured after a while. Well, God made it that way. God made our bodies to heal. And we need to see that and get on board with Him on that. And that'll help us, you know, in a lot of the things that we go through. You know, healing also comes by the laying on of hands. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says to come and have the elders pray for you. And there's a transference of anointing, shall we say, you know, is how it works. And, you know, pray that way. Also, there's healing by faith. You know, when you read the Word, all of a sudden you see something in the Word. And the Bible says if you believe, you receive when you pray, you can have it, you know. But that takes great faith. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, that takes, you know, it's not just something that we do all the time. It's something that I think that we need to, you know, meditate on God's Word and get our faith built up. And then there's also the gifts of healing. You've heard of that in 1 Corinthians 12. This is a brief, you know, charismatic Pentecostal teaching, you know, on the idea that it talks about, you know, certain people, for whatever reason, God only knows, they're going to be anointed to be able to have the gifts of healing, meaning that when they pray for people, they're going to be healed. The person that receiving prayer doesn't have to have any faith, and the person that's doing the praying really don't have to have a whole lot of faith, because it's just the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's something that God imparts just for that time, and it happens. So God has made provision, you know, for the healing of our body. And then lastly, when Jesus Christ comes again for the church, the Bible talks about we're going to get a glorified body, meaning if we died and we're buried and, you know, it all falls apart, you know what I'm saying? Or maybe we're still here when Jesus comes. The Bible says, you know, the dead in Christ will rise first. And we're going to get kind of a unique body, a body that you can touch, but it seems like it has the ability to go through doors or walls. I mean, that's what Jesus did. Don't understand it. Don't have one yet. You know, I'm waiting for mine. And I want one. But I don't want to go get one before my time. You know what I mean? I feel I'm doing some good down here on earth. And I hope you feel the same way about yourself. That you're helping people. And you're making a difference in their life. But when it's time, you know, I'm ready. Ready to go. Okay, now here's what I wanted to get to. I know I beat it around the bush a little bit. I'm going to talk about our soul. Now, this is a focus because I believe that this, our soul can have a deep effect even on our health. You know, the other day while I was praying, I mean, just a common thought. I mean, y'all probably knew this already. But two things that really will affect our physical healing sometimes and how we walk in health is, you know, stress and strife, right? I mean, if maybe this is not new to you. If it is, write it down. Believe me, if you can stay out of stress and you can stay out of strife, you won't be sick very much. Mm-mm. That's what gets us sick. Those are two things that open the door for the devil. I know there's other things. I know there's a coronavirus out there, and I know all that. But for the most part, just in you, as you walk through life, if you can keep away from stress or strife, you're going to be well on the way to walking in health. You're not going to be sick very much. Your body is not going to be sick very much, because that's a key ingredient to walking in that kind of level of victory. Okay, so you know. The restoration of the soul is a lifelong process, unlike our spirit. Remember, our spirit, immediate, boom, When you're born again, new. Soul, not that way. The soul is the part of us on the inside, and really, we won't go there. You can jot this down. Hebrews 4:12 talks about how only the Word of God can divide the soul and spirit and understand what they do, you know, the thoughts and the intentions of the heart, okay? So we need to understand that those two things make up the inner man. That's the part of us you can't see. Without going all wacko here, you could cut off your hand, it's still you. I mean, you could start cutting pieces off and it's still you. I mean, you finally get too close to the middle, you know, it's over, right? You're gonna die. But if you cut off certain things, you know, the real you is still there because you are a spirit and you have a soul. That's your personality part. That's why you act the way you do. And some of that personality comes from the people that raised you. Now, we're not here dissing our parents right now, amen? You know, but you know, we do the best we can. I know I broke my kids a couple times, but they hopefully snapped out of it, you know. And, nobody's a perfect parent. You know, no, I'm not Ward Cleaver, I know that. Now, Ward was a little strict. Some of you guys ought to go look at Leave It to Beaver and see what you think. That's an old show. I probably should have used a more modern term, but that one just came to me. I don't know why. So, but I want us to see that we all have room for improvement, okay? Things that we need to do. Now, what I've learned about in my Christian walk, sometimes I take big steps, sometimes I take little steps, okay? Everybody loves big steps when you can really see it happening, you know what I mean? Boom, all of a sudden, you know, I remember one time I got yelled at work for something that I didn't even do. And back in the day, I would have queued up Johnny Paycheck, you know what I'm saying? Take this job and shove it. I mean, that's what I would have told him right out because I was a good enough worker. I could go get a job wherever I wanted. I didn't have to take any verbal abuse from nobody. And that was my idea. That was my mindset, and that's how I rolled. But I'll tell you what, I got yelled at, and I just kept my mouth shut. I thought, whoa, God must be working, you know? Because that really, you know, I took it like a man, you know what I'm saying? Let him yell at me, and then it come out. The person that lied about me, they got fired. I didn't wish it on them. It just happened. You know, they made up a lie about me, and that's just what happened. God straightened it all out. So I think if we let God straighten some things out, I guess that's what I'm saying, that would be better. But, you know, you take them, that, to me, that was a big step. Well, in other times in my life, I just see little steps, just little inch-by-inch growth here and there. And that's just the way it works sometimes. Now, to explain it, and we've already done this probably before in the past, to me, the soul has many different rooms or different areas of our life that we need to deal with, okay? Different parts of us, you know, that, you know, we may have great success. I mean, how many's got different rooms at their house? I mean, probably all of us do, okay? Now, some rooms are cleaner than the others. You know, I have a room or two that I have my stuff all sprawled out everywhere. I mean, that's my room. Now, I'll be honest, it does even get too bad for me, so I kind of, you know, have to clean it a little bit. But then there's other rooms of our house. I mean, you can't find any bad stuff, any debris, anything laying on the floor. The kids are saying, what room's that? No, I'm just kidding. It's the kitchen. We're doing good in there. We're getting better. Amen. But, you know, we all have different areas of our life that we're sometimes hiding from God and keeping him out of those areas. I mean, if you all come to the house, I'll let you in a couple rooms, but you're not getting to that messy room. You know, not unless you're really tight. We have to be really tight before I let you in that room. You know, because I don't want you to think bad about me. You know, so I let you in the rooms I want you to see it. And sometimes that's the way it is with God. You know, what I've watched, and I observe a lot of things, is that some people can get healed every time they pray, but then they can't believe God for a nickel. It's just weird. You know, they just think, you know, they're sick, something comes on them, boom, they can get healed. But then they have a financial worry come in, and man, they just all freak out. They fall apart. And I don't know why it's like that, but there's an area of their soul that's been wounded, that's put fear in there about that they need to deal with. An example of that, you remember Abraham. You know, Abraham, you know, God just blessed him, and he could just see that God would provide for him. He had all kinds of stuff. As a matter of fact, he was so blessed that he let Lot have first pick, you know, on what part of land they want. Of course, Lot, being the shady character that he was, he picked a good spot. Abraham took the second best, and he was still blessed. He just believed God. He just knew that God was going to bless him, and maybe that's you today. You just know that whatever you put your hand to do, you know, you're just going to be blessed. And that's the way it is. Well, then Abraham moved down, and he's heading down to Egypt, and he had his wife, and he got in fear. He thought they was going to kill him, because evidently Sarah must have been a looker, you know what I mean? And he thought somebody would try to steal him. In order to get his wife, he was going to kill him. So he says, tell him that you're my sister. And it was a truth, because she was his half-sister. We're not going to go there right now, okay? We don't do that no more. But, you know, so he told her that, and then the guy took her, but he never laid with her, and, you know, without going into too much about it. But, you know, he just was in fear. And here he could believe God for anything, and God just blessed him. Basically, he just had to ask God for something, and he'd do it. But in this area, he had fear. And see, that's how I think you and I are wired sometimes, or a wired cross somewhere. You know what I mean? There's certain areas of our life where we can just walk and, you know, we go around telling everybody, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, praise God, I'm blessed. Well, then an attack comes to another area of our life and, you know, and mayday, 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 we're going down, you know, it's over, you know, we're ready to give up the ghost and move on. But see, we need to figure out how to fix those areas. Why am I in fear? Why can't I trust God or in this area of my life when I know I trust him in other areas of my life? And see, as we do that, we start to mature and we start to grow and we start to see things. Because, you know, we're complicated critters, aren't we? You know, we have some complications in our life. God wants to heal our insecurities, okay? We have insecurities in our life. You know, wrong thinking is what really is our major problem. How that develops, and we're going to look at this from two different angles, sort of, same thought. Over time, we have believed the lie as truth, and now it has become a pattern of thinking, and that's what happens. You know, I've watched, just growing up, girls, you know, and this is kind of weird, I hate to be vain, but girls that are very beautiful, that believe they're ugly, and they've settled for something well below where they should be in life. And it can be like that in other areas too, because they have something, you know, they've been cursed in their identity by their parents, or somebody has told them something, and that lie has become the truth, and it's now they just can't think right. Now, I'm not much of a mathematician, because I don't know all the formulas, I'll be honest with you, but you know, if you have a problem you're trying to solve and you use the wrong formula and you keep using that same formula, you're going to get the same answer every time, but it'll be wrong, won't it? You add it and up and you multiply it out or divide it, whatever it is, and if you do it wrong, you're going to get the wrong answer every time. And see, that's when we know we have a problem. We're not seeing things right. And we need to understand how we need to turn that around. You know, it's kind of like this. You know, let's say you struggle in relationships. And there's a lot of people that do. A lot of people's been hurt. You know, I think we probably all have probably been stabbed in the back somewhere in life, somewhere along the line. Maybe somebody stole our girlfriend or boyfriend, or, you know, something happened like that. Somebody was unfaithful. You know, I'm starting to sing a country song here, so I better stop. You know, but, you know, all those things can go on in life. And see, what happens then is that as we go through these things, you know, it causes us to always respond a certain way. And if you've had your heart broken or if you've been burnt, what happens is you can flow in a situation, you can be the life of the party, talking to everybody, but it's all going to be superficial. And what happens then when somebody starts to get close to you, you don't want to get hurt, so you run. So the formula you're using in life is, here's how it goes, is close equals pain, so run. So we do whatever we can not to let people get close, not to let people into our life, because we know they're going to hurt us. But see, that's why we need the healer, Jesus Christ. And that's why sometimes we keep, you know, people at a distance sometimes, and, you know, we need to allow God to heal that. And he can, I guarantee he can, because I know he helped me in this area. So three things I want us to see how this kind of develops again to kind of, you know, double down on it a little bit. We got hurts, habits, and hang-ups, right? Okay. So hurts is when we get wounded in our soul. Okay. What happens is, you know, we're supposed to have a shield of faith, but we let our faith either laid our shield down somewhere, because that shield of faith quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. And those come from Satan. Those are those accusations, those lies, those things that he speaks to us or he speaks to other people. And if they hit that shield of faith, they can't hurt us. What happens is we move the shield of faith or whatever happens. And so then we let them through. Okay, then we get hit and it goes through our blessed plate a little bit. Okay, so what happens is because each and every one of us has either been abused at some time, we've been cheated on, we've been misunderstood, or we've suffered a loss, okay? Everybody goes through those things, you know, from time to time. And whatever it is, we just accepted that as part of our life. Like I mentioned that splinter before, okay? That splinter's in there, I don't want to deal with it. And then have you ever had somebody else try to take your splinter out for you? Oh my gosh, you're about ready to punch them, you know, sometimes, you know? And, you know, every time they touch that splinter with the tweezers or the needle or whatever the case is, ow! And that's how it is. And with our soul, too. You know, maybe we want to go get some counseling or find somebody to talk to help us out. And when we start to bring that up, ow! I don't want to talk about that. It brings pain. But see, once you get the splinter out, you'll start to heal. And that's what we need to do. We need to trust God that we get that splinter out. Next, what happens after that, you know, is that hurt will turn to a habit, and we develop coping mechanisms, you know, to get by. And, you know, I don't know about you, but self-medication, you know, either drugs, alcohol, sexual addictions, eating disorders, all these things come into our life. And we try to use those as a habit to maybe cover up or suppress that pain that we don't want to deal with. Okay? I'll try to speed up here. I look like I'm going a little long today. Always the last one of a series. It seems like I just try to do the kitchen sink on y'all, but it's all good. Third one's hang-ups, and this is the last one here, is the idea of now that we have a thing going on in our life, it's called a stronghold in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 10, okay? So a stronghold is an MO or a method of operation, and that's how we try to operate, and we respond different ways. And it's a thinking pattern or a pattern of thinking that you and I need to deal with. We're even making our decisions from a position of strength or weakness. So what happens is if we have a stronghold, we're making all our decisions in life from a position of weakness. And it puts us in trouble where we're going to maybe make the right choice, okay? Well, now I'm going to tell you how to get healed. This is what I wanted to get to. First one is found in James chapter 4, verse 6. I don't have the scriptures up here. But he said he gives grace, greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, first we need to admit we're broken. Don't try to, you know, we need to have a come to Jesus moment. We need to get real with God. We need to stop covering up the obvious, the thing that everybody else can see. We got to deal with it because it's glaring at us right in the mirror, looking us right in the face. And we need to let those things go. And that's when we start to get it. So, and like I said, we all have different areas that we need to deal with. Secondly, in Philippians 1:6, it says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it into the day of Jesus Christ." Okay, so secondly, we ask God for help. No brainer, but yet we don't do it sometimes. Or how many has done a casual ask to God? Oh, God, help me. But you never really spend time looking in the Word or in prayer, you know, trying to really find the solution. You know, so we need to do that. See, it's okay to have confidence, but we need to make sure that we're trusting in God. See, a lot of times we have so much confidence in ourselves, it takes us out of the healing program that God has. So what I like to say, I don't know about you, but I keep control, the remote control, a lot. Now, when Kaylee's back, I'll let her hold it a little bit. She likes Hallmark, and I can suffer through. You know, I consider it suffering for Jesus a little bit. You know, they're not that bad. But, you know, for the most part, somebody likes to hold the control. And I know who you know who you are right now. You like to keep control, the remote control. But what we need to do is let go of the remote control and let God choose the program. Here's why. The one with the remote control controls what we see with our eyes and hear with our ears. So whatever show is on TV, the remote control put it there. And so whatever show is coming in our life, the person with the remote control put it there. They're choosing what they're thinking on. And we need to allow God to change that. Lastly, James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Okay, this is the vulnerability part. And believe me, this is powerful. Ask for help from other people. You know, I first started out in this game, you know, bless God, I don't need nobody. I just trust God and God's going to do it for me and I don't need nobody else. Well, I come to find out that don't work all the time. Sometimes God wants us to go to other people because it brings humility to our life. And that goes a long ways in our walk with Him, is to be humble. So first, I always confess my sins or faults to God and ask Him for forgiveness. But if I'm still got these nagging thoughts or things going on, I go try to find somebody I can trust. I mean, I just don't tell everybody. You know, and for heaven's sakes, don't go on Facebook and tell all your stuff. You know, you knew what I'm talking about right now. You know, nobody in here, but I, you know, the people that just tell everything on Facebook, that's not how you get healed. You don't get healed on Facebook. You know, it just don't work. But you go to somebody you can trust, you know, maybe a spouse or a friend, and then you start asking them, you know, start confessing your problem to them. And you'll see that load is just lifted. It's taken away. And it's gone. Because that act of humility will bring the healing flow. Okay, Christmas, as we close here, is about the fact that Jesus came to bring hope, help, and healing to our lives. And that's why the baby Jesus came. You know, we need to say yes to whatever He has for our life. You know, God's present to us is His presence. And that's what I hope you seek for. And this is the close of this year, and we're going to be starting into 2021. You know, really seek His presence and what He has for your life. And start to see the journey that He wants to take you on, because it's a good one. Let's pray.